Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, February 15, 2016. World Food Program trucks arrive for the first time since fighting broke out in Eastern Bia State's Wurur County.
Now, with the trucks coming into this location, we are hoping that we'll be able to cover more people as well as come more regularly because the needs are really big. You know, people don't have sufficient food.
And officials say food is urgently needed in parts of Jonglei State's Twitch East County.
The needed now would be the food and non-food items. These are the immediately and the medicine. Because now the children are living under the tree, there are no shelter.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. World Food Program distributed relief items for the first time to thousands of civilians cut off from humanitarian aid in Perere village of Wurur County. WFP officials say food distribution offers a glimpse of hope to vulnerable residents in the newly created Eastern Bia State, where thousands of people have been trapped because of fighting between government and armed opposition forces. Waki Simon Wudu traveled with WFP over the weekend to Perere and has filed this report.
A group of women in Pierre village of Wurur County welcome a team of WFP workers to the area. The women burst into ululation as they see trucks loaded with the food pulled into their village. 11 trucks loaded with the food items arrived in Pierre village on Saturday. WFP country representative for South Sudan, Joyce Loma, who flew with the reporters from Juba, says the two-year conflict and heavy rains have prevented 8 workers from reaching the area before now. 43-year-old Nyagai Mabil is a mother to 6. Speaking in Arabic, Mabil could not conceal her joy upon seeing the food trucks.
We are very happy because food has come. That means our problems are over.
The trucks are loaded with 100 metric tons of sorghum, oil, corn, soybeans, a supplement given to children under age 5 who need proteins. Loma says the food aid targeted over 20,000 vulnerable people in Pierre.
This set of convoys, 11 trucks that came from Juba, moved across what used to be battle lines. And these are areas where you're moving from a government-controlled area into the opposition-controlled area and back into government-controlled area.
Pierre is controlled by the SPLM in opposition. Loma says the WFP trucks is the first convoy to arrive in the area since the fighting broke out in late 2013. Loma says the WFP is planning to pre-position more food in the area to help avert looming food insecurity in South Sudan.
Now, with the trucks coming into this location, we are hoping that we'll be able to cover more people as well as come more regularly because the needs are really big. You know, people don't have sufficient food. They need to be able to receive food on a much more regular basis until their next harvest.
Martha Chol is one of the residents who will have a decent meal this week from the WFP food distribution. But speaking in Arabic, she says the food she received is not enough to sustain her for many days.
Our problem is hunger. Now we have come so that we are survivor, but the food is cannot be enough for us. This food is small. My friend, if you have more sorghum, bring for us so that people behind here cannot cry.
Loma says transporting food by road has not been possible since late 2013 due to heavy rains and fighting between the two warring parties. She says an estimated 1.7 million people have been affected by the crisis and another 1.7 million others could not harvest their crops because of bad weather. For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Wodo in Juba.
And the Office of the South Sudan Relief and Rehabilitation Commission in Jonglei State says hunger is a problem in Twitch East County's Wernyol Village. More than 90,000 IDPs are in need of urgent food aid there. Chuch East County Commissioner Dao Akwoi Jurkuch says the majority of the IDPs are coming from swampy areas in Jonglei State, as well as refugees returning from camps in Uganda and Kenya. Jacob Achek reports for VOA from Juba.
Chuch East County Commissioner Dao Akwoi Jurkuch called the situation in Wernyol dire. He says he hopes aid workers will visit areas where returnees, IDPs, are camping.
The million now is the food and the non-food items. These are the immediate and the medicine. Because now the children are sleeping under the tree, there are no shelter.
Last week, humanitarian agencies and the South Sudan Relief and Rehabilitation Commission, or SRRC, carried out an assessment in Duke County and in Wernyol, where it was determined that more than 21,000 returnees are in need of relief assistance. SRRC Acting Director James Jock Allier says his office is working with aid agencies to intervene.
We went to Padiet, Duke Padiet, and also Forked Up. And before we reached those places, we fought by Wernyol, where we got 21,000 returnees in Wernyol. And in Duke Padiet, which include a Yildiz and Duke Padiet, we got 65,000 people, in which over 80% of the population are IDPs from rural and rural.
Allier says humanitarian agencies are taking the time to respond to humanitarian needs in the area. He says his office has all the information needed for food distribution.
Partners collect all the data. We will give them time from Monday, Tuesday to analyze the data. And then on Wednesday, we'll be able to sit down to discuss on the reports, the draft reports. And then by Friday, we'll be able to release the final reports. That will determine so what kind of intervention that can be made.
Allier is also asking the South Sudan government to intervene, to erect health facilities and a school for internally displaced persons and those returning from the neighboring Kenya and Uganda. South Sudan in Focus contacted WAP spokesperson George Homien for comment on the situation in Jonglei State, but he declined, saying he has no knowledge of what is happening in Duke County. I'm Jacob Achek reporting from Bor.
President Salva Kiir appointed his arch-rival Riek Machar last week to be the country's first vice president, in accordance with terms of the August peace deal. Machar told VOA from Cairo this week his first priority will be resettling internally displaced persons in Juba, Bor, Malakal and Bentiu. Reporter Mungume Davis Rakarin visited some IDPs at the UN Protection Center in Juba and has this report for VOA.
John Gadbany is a resident of the Protection of Civilians Camp No. 3 at the UN House in Juba. He says he was pleased to hear that President Kiir had restored his former deputy, but says he does not trust the two leaders to work together without conflict.
We are just praying hard that the peace should become, because it was not the first time to see for the international community and to pressure the both sides to sign a peace. But nothing has been implemented. We cannot have that. Is that 50 anyway? We cannot say it will be, because just in a 2 week later, something new will come out to threatening the peace, which we are not having a confidence on it.
Another IDP, Michael James Gatwak, agrees. Gatwak says the international community is not putting enough pressure on President Kiir and First Vice President Riek Machar to implement the peace agreement.
What we want. Yes, we also say to the international community and also the IGAD and other partner, we want them to work very hard about this peace. Yes, it's a small word, but it is big inside, because it is have a lot of program that can help the South Sudanese people to stay and also to come in harmony.
About 28,000 people are living in UN Protection of Civilian Sites, commonly known as POC sites, in Juba. Hundreds of South Sudanese sought protection at various UN camps when the conflict turned into ethnic fighting. International rights groups have accused both sides of committing rapes, torture, recruitment of child soldiers, and targeting people based on ethnicity. Mary Nyankor, a 24-year-old single mother of two, says she is suffering because of the conflict. She says it is not easy to feed her children.
The war has greatly affected us. I lost my loved brother, and even economic is now bad. Things are not like before.
She says she was separated from her husband, who had gone to Bentiu, and has not heard from him since.
The leaders have brought us a lot of suffering. I'm glad that they have agreed the peace will be now back to the country. We are asking the international community to put progress on two parties into main peace to ensure that they implement peace.
A report released last month by United Nations panel that monitors the conflict in South Sudan said that President Kiir and First Vice President Machar were still completely in charge of their forces and were therefore directly to blame for the killings of civilians and for other crimes that warrant sanctions. For VOA News, I am Mugume, Davis Ruakarinj in Juba.
Local leaders in Maridi State accuse youth of killing six people at a marketplace. They say young people burned three unarmed citizens to death and shot and killed three residents. A woman and a child was also wounded in the attacks. Gibbs Friday has the story for VOA from Juba.
Local leaders say the attacks occurred Wednesday night in a small trading center between Mambe Payam and Rasol, about 37 miles from Maridi town. It is the second deadly attack by the youth within weeks. Last month, three motorists were killed a few days after the new governor of Maridi State, Colonel Africano Mande, arrived in the area. Governor Mande describes the latest attack.
Civilian vehicles were burned down by the armed groups, and they not only burned the vehicles, but looted the goods and also burned some civilians who were in the vehicle. I think so far there are about three people burned and others were shot dead.
Governor Mande says the injured were rushed to hospital in Rasol. He blames local vigilantes called the Aero Boys for the attack. He says the Aero Boys are carrying out deadly attacks like this simply to achieve fame.
These are armed groups who claim to be affiliated to Dr. Riek Machar, PLAIO. And some of them are actually boys from Maridi State and the other adjacent state. Many of them were in Amadi State and got armament from there, and then they decided to move to the areas of Mambe and continued to load vehicles along the road and kill civilians.
Mande also accuses the armed groups of abducting and recruiting children in their forces. He says the state will continue to engage in dialogue with the Aero Boys to restore peace in the area, but will arrest those responsible for the killings. Mande is urging the community to remain calm.
The security organs are after them, trying to see if they can apprehend some of them so that they are able to answer the charges that have been put against them.
Governor Mande says he is aware of what he calls flashpoints in Maridi, especially along Mambe Road, where unidentified gunmen often ambush vehicles and loot their merchandise. The Yei Maridi Road is the only road linking the former Western Equatorial State with Uganda. Traders rely on this road to import goods from neighboring Uganda to this part of South Sudan. Gift Friday for VOA News, Juba.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus. From the Voice of America, we now change our gears and look at politics in Eastern Equatorial State. That story is coming up next.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how would you like to be remembered?
I would like to remember that someone who gave back to society, as someone who touched lives and helped others.
I would like people to remember me by leaving a positive legacy as a hallmark, you know, easing the pains of people who are suffering, you know, like giving that compassionate and passionate care to them.
I would like to be remembered as someone who actually made an impact in my own small ways, whether it is that I helped someone in life or I just, even if it is just one individual, something small.
I would want to be remembered as a good citizen of my country one day. Well, it's very important to do the right thing because seeing what's going on, we wish there are many good people out there who would want to do the right thing in this country.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. Hundreds of youth who fled into the bush from Ikoto town in eastern Equatorial State last year are now returning home after attending a peace and reconciliation conference organized by the governor of the newly created Imatong State and traditional leaders. As Dimo Silva Aurelio reports from WOW, Imatong State leaders persuaded the youth who rebelled against the former authorities in eastern Equatorial State to return home.
Angry civilians burned the military barrack at Ikoto last year to protest the killings and unexplained disappearances of loved ones at the hands of the military. Santo Loyereng is one of the youths who returned home. He says he fled to the bush to hide last year because the army was arresting people for no apparent reason.
The issue is finished and now we are coming back home. After we have talked with them and then we have reached a resolution of coming back home.
Area members of parliament say the initiative taken by newly appointed Imatong State Governor Nartiso Loluke Manir to reconcile the people of Ikoto is the best option for convincing area civilians to stop attacking the South Sudan Army. Grace Abalang represents Ikoto County in the National Assembly. She says several youths were arbitrarily arrested by the army last year. She says the youths are coming home because they feel safe with the new governor in charge.
All the generals of the army security police are here. So we want them to come back. The governor is calling them to come. Everything is now okay. There will not be no arrest. And we are really happy to receive them. We want them to come back home because they cannot be living there for 3 months, leaving their kids, leaving their family, even leaving their jobs.
Former Eastern Equatoria State authorities accuse Equator youths of being members of the SPLM in opposition. Muras Chacha, another lawmaker representing Ikoto, says young people were running for their lives.
The chief Loto said clearly that he has no rebel in Imatong. What he has there are the boys who fled from here. They are taking care of their cows there.
Abalang says the people of Ikoto have another complaint. She says the former Eastern Equatoria State Governor, Luis Lobong Lojore, created PIAMS without consulting elders of the area. She says the new governor should address the issue of the PIAMS to avoid another conflict.
The people of Equatoria really have no problem with the creation of the administrative area. We just wanted the administrative area to become a county. There are some PIAMS which are forcefully decreed in that administrative area. So the governor will address those issues also today. It's part of the issues of the reconciliation because if we are forced, this is not a time of forcing people. We have two PIAMS, Losite PIAM and Isoke PIAM, which is saying they are not part of Ikoto, and really now they are in Ikoto.
Imatong Governor Nartiso Loluke Manir warned residents of Ikoto not to take part in cattle raiding, saying any person caught stealing cattle will be disarmed and arrested. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in WOW.
From Torit, we come back to Western Bahr al-Ghazal. Fighting continues to rage in WOW County. Education officials there say they have had to close more than 30 primary schools in the area due to insecurity. More than 6,000 pupils affected by the closure say authorities in the newly created WOW state should find an alternative school for the pupils. Michael Atit has more on that story from WOW.
WOW County Education Director William Julu Sabino says many families are seeking refuge in WOW town because of the ongoing fighting in their area. Speaking in Arabic, Julu says the insecurity has affected schools in Paile, Bagari, and Beselia Payams. Julu says all schools will be closed, including Beselia Payam, even though things are calm there at the moment. He says authorities decided after consulting with one another, it was best to close down all of the schools to prevent any victims of violence. Julu says it was decided that all students should study in WOW town. 15-year-old Dalia Edward is among the 6,000 pupils who fled to WOW town to continue her studies. Dalia was in a primary 5 at a school in Busere Payam. Her school was closed last year. This week, she fled to WOW with her family. Speaking in Arabic, she says her dreams of continuing her education were cut short by the insecurity in her village.
There is no school in Bushiri. Because of ongoing fighting, everybody is here in WOW. and now we have not yet registered in any school. If I did not study this year, I will not be happy because I will have to miss 1 year and my classmate would go ahead of me. I would really appeal the government to assist us in our education because we did not have money to pay our school fees.
An eyewitness to the violence who fled Busere says many people have been killed and properties looted by armed groups in Momoi, Busere and Farajala. 55-year-old Ambelia Karim is a widow and a mother of seven. Speaking in her native Tshibalanda language, she says she worries about the future of her children.
We fled the fighting and we came to Wau. And I have four pupils and I don't know how I'm going to register them in a school. Not even the school alone. But the question is, now how are we going to live with them here? Now we are staying with relative. And for how long are we going to stay with them? I don't know. We left all our properties in the village, and we don't have any money.
51-year-old Edward Gesh Juma is a father of seven. Gesh says he worries about how he is going to survive in Wau town. He and other residents fled from Busere Payam, 24 kilometers south of Wau town this week. Speaking in Arabic, he says gunmen now control his village. Gesh says there is no more schools in Busere. He says civilians are now in Wau. He asks, what kind of war is this? If you go out for firewood or charcoal, Gesh says, you will be killed. And if you are found in your garden, you will be killed. Now, he says, there are no civilians in the area. There is only destruction. Wau County Education Director William Julu Sabino says all pupils who fled to Wau town due to insecurity in their home village will not have to pay for enrolling into schools in Wau town. Speaking in Arabic, he says parents of the affected pupils should register their children in their various government schools in Wau town. Julu says all pupils are now here in Wau with their families, and they, as education officials of Wau County, have put the priority on their education. He says they know the people have lost everything, but he encouraged parents to come and register their children to any nearby primary school. Julu is calling on the humanitarian agencies and other international non-governmental organizations like UNICEF and the UK Save the Children to help new students with school kits and food. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Wau.
From Wau, we move back to Washington, D.C., where Americans are celebrating the President's Day. A group of 60 former Lost Boys from South Sudan have something to brag about. They met former U.S. President George W. Bush. President Bush, who is largely respected by South Sudanese for his work to end the Sudan civil war, surprised the group as they were enjoying a private tour of his presidential library in Dallas, Texas. Ayen Bior spoke to two of them, both of whom say they were impressed with President Bush's continued commitment to help South Sudanese pull itself out of the conflict.
Former Lost Boy Jok Deng Duop says it was just an ordinary afternoon in Dallas, Texas, when he and 60 other Lost Boys were winding up their tour of the George W. Bush Presidential Library. He says out of nowhere, they suddenly saw Mr. Bush, the 43rd President of the United States, stroll into the room. Deng says he was eager to meet Bush, who he calls a game changer in ushering in South Sudan's independence.
It was great to see him so that we can voice some of our concern to him and make sure that he understands. We still believe that it's a solution to the problem in South Sudan.
Deng says President Bush told the group his work to bring peace to South Sudan did not end with his presidency in 2009. Deng says Mr. Bush told them he is working with the current administration to bring stability to South Sudan. The former president also told the group that they have made a difference in the community. Don West Barnett, president of the Dallas-based nonprofit Friends of the Lost Boys, agrees. Wes Barnett has been with the group since they first began arriving in 2001. She says for her, it has been a privilege to watch them grow into educated and respected citizens in society.
I know that it's not been easy. There's, you know, because their jobs have been minimum wage and they have to work hard. And when they go to school, it's even harder. For the most part, they've done extremely well.
Former Lost Boy Jacob Choltiak says he was most impressed by President Bush's humility and sincerity.
And when you look at someone, love the people that need help, you just say, this is a great person and he's for humanity.
Deng urged Mr. Bush to use his influence to reach out to the Obama administration to help pull his country out of conflict. He says leaders like the former president should not be discouraged over the two-year conflict.
I think in that sense, President Bush can still echo his message to the current administration and say, look, we have responsibility. I mean, not in the past, even now, you know, we still have responsibility to make sure South Sudan doesn't become a state where war keep on going.
President Bush helped broker the comprehensive peace agreement between the government of Sudan and the SPLM-SPLA, which paved the way for the 2011 referendum of southern Sudan. President Bush is also remembered across Africa for launching PEPFAR, the president's emergency relief for AIDS reform, which has been universally praised for its work to end the spread of HIV/AIDS in Africa. For VOA News, I'm Ayan Bior in Washington.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, John. The World Food Program distributed relief items for the first time since the fighting began to thousands of civilians cut off from humanitarian aid in Pierre Village of eastern Bié State. WFP officials say the food trucks offer a glimmer of hope to vulnerable residents in the village, where thousands have been trapped by fighting between government and armed opposition forces. 11 WFP food trucks arrived in Pierre Village on Saturday. The Office of the South Sudan Relief and Rehabilitation Commission in Jonglei State says more than 90,000 IDPs need urgent food aid in Twikis County. County Commissioner Dao Okoy Jerkuch says the majority of IDPs are from swampy areas in Jonglei, as well as refugees returning from camps in Uganda and Kenya. And finally, President Salva Kiir appointed his arch-rival Riek Machar last week to be the country's first vice president in accordance with the terms of the August peace deal. Machar told VOA from Cairo his first priority is to resettle internally displaced persons in Juba, Bor, Malakal, and Bentiu. John Gapany is the resident of the POC Camp No. 3 at the UN House in Juba. He says he's glad to hear President Kiir restored his former deputy to power, but says he doesn't trust the two leaders to work things out. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
That's our show for this Monday. We now leave you with the song Salam Ya Sudan by Victoria Ole and Kasang Dedi. We have been listening to Victoria Ole and Kasang Dedi with that song Salam Ya Sudan. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. We hope you join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
shogol wajahudal khatir.